The Angry Chicken Hearthstone podcast is produced by Amove.tv. Check out Amove.tv for more podcasts covering Blizzard games. For more of Jocelyn's gaming podcasts, visit JossPlays.com. And to find many more podcasts with Ridiculous Hat, follow at Ridiculous Hat on Twitter. Every episode of TAC is made possible thanks to our legendary patrons over at patreon.com/TAC.
Time's up. Let's do this. You beast, Deroxys. You smell like a leper gnome.
I knew it.
So hot.
A podcast about Hearthstone and Battlegrounds. This is The Angry Chicken.
This is The Angry Chicken, a podcast all about Hearthstone, as advertised. I'm Garrett, here as always with Jocelyn and Hat. Welcome back, you two.
Today has been a journey. It's been a journey.
Just be really classic and go, it's been a Monday.
It's only Monday?
No one has ever...
Today was at least Monday and Tuesday, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's been a week, and then it's like, wait a minute.
Nothing's been particularly crazy. Have we all just had like trying personal days?
I think so. I had a terrible, terrible sleep. I have a horrible backache right now, and I'm just like, everything's just been difficult today.
Yep.
To the point that it feels like it was like 2 to 3 days worth instead of one.
I feel that.
And then my mom was like, because our Thanksgiving's coming up. So my mom was like, well, we're going to go to the cottage for the long weekend. So can you guys come on October 2nd? And I realized that's literally this weekend. And I'm like,
yes.
WTF.
Yes, it is.
That was sneaky, right? Because she threw in the different month. That's an effective decoy tactic.
Yeah, I thought it was way far away. And I was like, I don't know. I'll have to let you know when it's closer. Yeah. She's like, it's like 5 days from now. Can you let me know by Wednesday?
PSA to all the moms out there, because y'all do this. My mom's the same way. If it is sub 7 days, say the day of the week. Why are you gaslighting me, mom?
So
I think the two of you have a different situation than I, because see, my mother has this thing where she's Jewish, and so I get the 6 weeks notice of when I'm expected. Yeah. And then the follow-up is very consistent. There's a lot of like just checking to make sure and just want to, you know, what do you want to do when you're here on this date that you're coming, right? Yes, you're coming. It's a lot of precision and anticipation is what we'll call it.
Gotcha. I get that too. But Roman Catholic on my side of the family. Yes. There's never the respectful amount of time of notice or reminders. It's always either far too in advance to have any sort of answer. Or just deceptively phrased with a date and things like, oh yeah, I still got time. Oh my God, it's tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Suddenly I'm off to the Walmart to find a card.
Oh, mom.
Anyways.
So accurate.
Speaking of people that have historically supported us.
Oh, look at you. Giveaways, the next thing on the show notes.
Oh, I was looking at the patrons.
A bunch of moochers. They don't pay us for Jack. We do our giveaways on Twitter.
Sorry, patrons. I was trying to make a graceful segue. Just want you to know that we're always thinking about you. That's what we're doing, patrons. See?
Always.
There you go.
Always thinking about you. We're doing another giveaway. Turns out... We came up with the order of giving giveaways in a strange order, because we're like, yeah, we got some dope ass Battleground skin bundles to give away that was sent over to us by the Hearthstone team. We should give away the new bundles first because it's super exciting and like it's all new and stuff. And then there are things like the beach party bundle left the store, and we're like, Oh God, wait, are these codes still good? Cause we like broke this up, and they're like, oh yeah, the codes are still good. And so in case you're wondering why we're giving away bundles that you can't buy in the store anymore, that's why. We didn't know they were leaving the store, but now it ended up being kind of cool.
Yeah. We're giving away a beach party in October. Cause why not?
Yeah.
It's totally seasonal. very relevant.
I want to be very specific that it's a beach party Battlegrounds bundle in Hearthstone. We are not offering a beach party. Now, I do live near a beach.
So we can't all come to your house for a party, Garrett?
If you want to come down, please bring proof of vaccination or wear a mask. And I will totally pick up some tendies from Publix and meet you out at a Siesta Key parking willing.
So. Nice. Okay. Hold on. Before the public tendies, I was uninterested. Now I'm going to look at the calendar.
I don't even know what those words mean.
Publix is a super...
That there's something
Publix,
good.
Publix is... It's described as a supermarket, but really it's more of a way of life. And the most important thing to know about Publix is where shopping is a pleasure. And if you want to make a Floridian happy, unless they're out of state, they've moved out of state, just say the words pub sub, and they will immediately become a happier person. See, look,
is that the place we went for subs when we did your whole wedding thing?
You see, Garrett is rising away. To heaven.
Sorry, I was literally ascending because you said pub sub. Yeah, Publix catered my wedding. Okay. We also had a food truck. We also had an ice cream truck. But also, yeah, if you ate appetizers or cake when Katie and I were celebrating the happiest day of our lives together, until the next day, because every day I'm with Katie is the happiest day of my life.
Unless you get pub subs one day and then don't the next day, and that's a little less happy, but we're all understanding of why that is. It's fine.
Yes. Yeah. Anyways, yeah, Publix is fine. That was a really long-winded Florida-specific beach party joke. We are actually giving away 5 beach party Battlegrounds bundles. They were sent to us by the Hearthstone team. I put out a tweet this morning. It's over at TAC Podcast. All you got to do is retweet it and follow the accounts. You're probably already following the accounts because you're listening to Sound of My Voice. And I know you would not be listening to Sound of My Voice and not already be following at TAC Podcast, at Garrett Art, at Joss Plays, and at Ridiculous Hat. Because you love us. I know you love us because we love you back. Even you, that one random YouTube commenter. Even you. Anyways, go to @TAC Podcast on Twitter. Give that a retweet. Enter our giveaway. Best of luck to you. I've got a link to it in the show notes as well in case you don't feel like going and digging it up. There should only be 2 or 3 tweets from the account between now and when the show goes live. So shouldn't be too hard to find. Other than that, Hat tried to segue us into our patron thanks. And let's just do it right now. Thank you to our patrons supporting us over at patreon.com/TAC. We really appreciate the support. We are an entirely independent podcast. Despite what that one random YouTube commenter says, we are not paid by Blizzard. Would be nice. I've been trying for years. Hasn't happened yet. If you would like to pay us $1 or more, whatever you choose, it is a complete opt-in subscription over at patreon.com/TASC, and you will get access to our Discord server. You get an ad-free version of the show, so you don't have to hear those darn ads. And we'll thank you when you sign up, like the new patrons this week, Tom Nook, who I can't believe is a patron. I've been paying you bells for so long. It's so nice to get something back. As well as Harrison Venema and Schulte. Schulte, your name is fun to say. And if I remember correctly, you had the MTG mana symbols as your Patreon avatar. So that was also cool. Double cool things there with Schulte. So anyways, go check it out. Patreon.com/TAC. And let's get into this week's Hearthstone news.
Good news, everyone!
Oh, buddy, there's been a lot of... is consternation the correct word?
Depends what you're talking about.
Been a lot of conversation, there's been a lot of debate, there's been a lot of hot takes and Reddit polls.
Are we talking about Stormwind? I think the word you're looking for, which has taken on additional context this year, is discourse. Been a lot discourse around Stormwind as an expansion as a whole. It's one of the...
I thought we were eulogizing the permanent death of all control decks because you literally cannot play one right now, according to certain Hearthstone players, or the fact that on average Hearthstone games should go 12 turns.
Oh boy! Right, so can we should explain this meme before we keep memeing on it.
It's a failure of game design that it doesn't go 12 turns.
Garrett, I want to keep memeing on this so bad, but we should explain it so we're not like the in joke podcast.
We should, yeah.
Yes, but it's a good meme. So there was a poll. Tell me about this poll.
There's a poll on our Hearthstone, our /Hearthstone, Basically asking what you think the average length of Hearthstone should be. And 12 turns got the majority of votes, at least the last I checked. I have not checked it today. I was laughing too much to go back and check it again.
12 on average. So there's a fundamental misunderstanding.
There's some that are more.
Right. There's a fundamental misunderstanding of one of two things. It's either the word average or the word 12. I'm not sure which one they're struggling to understand, but it's one of those two things of either how big of a number is 12 or what does the word average mean? Because average, like you said, Jocelyn, means there are some that are more, a few the less, but on average, your usual game hits the 10 mana mark and then keeps going for two more turns. And some people like playing minions on one and then dragging them to the other hero and then doing that a bunch of times. I've done that on regular occasions. Joss, you've done that on regular occasions. Even Garrett has been known to drag a minion to a portrait from time to time. usually when you do that, I think the game ends. And you don't have to do that for 12 turns for that to happen. And, if we think back to Barons, we've brought this up only every episode since Stormwind has come out. But a lot of games ended when you played Alex on turn 9. And 9 is less than 12.
Yeah, and again, we're working with averages here, which I think is the big sticking point for the three of us. And also, like, I think I speak for all of us when we say, please God, no, do not make 12 turns the general length of a Hearthstone game.
I think that was like if you played the Rise of Shadows Dr. Boom Warrior experience, usually the turn that I conceded was the turn that they went Omega Devastator Ziliax. Because that was a really unpleasant experience. And that was 10 or 11. Because Devastator doesn't turn on till 10. And those games made me stop playing Hearthstone on my phone because I didn't know when to be trapped in an experience for 25 minutes.
Yeah. So memes aside, the thing I haven't seen anyone, like, this is just so infinitely memeable. Like, my Twitter sphere, clearly very well curated to my smug tastes and beliefs about the game of Hearthstone, was memeing on this like crazy. We were yucking it up and having a good old time with lots of LOLs. I hate myself for that sentence. Anyways, the thing I haven't really seen talked about is that, like, it's a poll. Like, this could be just a random majority of a specific type of player, too. For all we know, this got on some super secret control warrior for life subreddit, and those are the only people that went and voted. Like, there's really no way of knowing. I would love to have more data. Like, if before you took this poll, you had to answer the question, what is your all-time favorite deck, or what type of deck do you generally a player, what type of player do you categorize yourself as? Aggro, combo, control, etc.
The results of the poll kind of are the same, right? Or like kind of give you that information.
In theory. In theory. But
like an aggro player is not gonna be like, I hope there's 15 turns in a game. Like, no, they want two. They want two max.
Yes. That's kind of where my brain goes. Like, if I'm going to walk away from the meme image, which is just, clearly you're a Magic player. And even then it like depends on what decks you're playing over there. That's the only thing that makes sense to me is like, I think just we saw a very specific majority type of player go and respond to this poll.
Well, the people that like current Hearthstone were too busy playing it to enter the poll.
That too. That
so all the people that are sitting on Reddit like F5ing waiting for Baron's Priest to come back are just like, well, while I'm here, I might as well generate a poll response, and here we are.
That's a good point, right? I don't know. Is it like a negativity bias with any sort of community discourse that if you are not currently happy with the game, you are much more likely to engage in Discord of source about it and go and seek out places where discourse is being had and vote in things like this. I don't have an answer for that, but it's where my brain tends to wander. And it's not saying that it's like inherently negative. It's just saying that I think if we I think I am more likely to go in a tirade or make my thoughts known if I am personally unhappy with the state of things and my chosen hobby that I'm really passionate about.
Really? 100%. I can't even remember the last time that I posted something that was like, hey, game I play a lot of. I really like what you're doing. Whereas, like, last night I was like this close to a ranty Twitter thread about a game I'm really pissed off at right now.
Is it Hearthstone?
What was the game?
It's not Hearthstone. It was WoW.
All right, good enough.
Oh, it was WoW.
Yeah, it was WoW.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. And then this close, and I'm like, no, Jocelyn, just go to bed. You'll feel better in the morning. Not angry tweet at 2 a.m.
Not angry tweeting good. If only you knew how the going to bed thing was going to go.
Right?
Yeah.
I probably would have just stayed up angry tweeting all night.
I'm not going to say it would have been better, but I'm going to say it might not have been worse.
Yeah.
Twitch.tv/AMoveTV. Listen to the pre-show for more background on that.
Yeah.
Emphasis on the back.
Yeah.
Of background.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's pretty clear at this point. There is absolutely an incendiary negativity bias in social media. It's a thing that happens. People don't gather around to kumbaya and say, like, everything is great, especially when the thing that you do if you like Hearthstone when you have free time is play Hearthstone. There's no barrier to entry. Oftentimes, not even gainful employment will keep you from playing during the day because the games are so quick and accessible on your mobile device with the cross-platform collection. So I am not surprised at all to hear from people that feel they're underrepresented by the game's current design, that they are expressing a wish counter to that design. I think 12 turns is a ridiculous, crazy, insane number.
Were saying in terms of game length, looking back at your kind of average, and was that your own stat or was, okay, yeah. So
my
own
stats
from previous expansions kind of show that, like, it's never been 12 on average.
Nope. I compulsively copy my app data folders from computer to computer. So I have all of my Hearthstone stats and Hearthstone deck tracker back to, I think, late 2015. And so I looked at 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020, and 2021. All of them.
The last 5 years of Hearthstone.
Last 5 years. The first four of those were all in the 9-turn ranges. In particular, 2017 and 2020 were both 9.1 turns exactly. I think one of the other ones is 9.6, 9.9. And again, keep in mind, that's also going to be biased based on the decks that I'm personally playing and what I tracked and what I played on mobile versus what I didn't. I think, in particular, 2020 was longer because I was playing more controlling decks. That was 2019. Yeah, that was Rise of Shadows Boom Warrior. I actually wouldn't even play that deck on the phone, so all of my games on computer were the Control Warrior decks. This year, so far in 2020, it is lower. It's 8.2 turns because the decks I've been playing are definitely, you know, on the more aggressive side, especially, but also because Stormwind's a fast format, and I think that we can agree with that, and also the designers agree with that. But 12 is not ever what Hearthstone has been. I mean, Jocelyn, you were watching Classic Hearthstone today. Classic. How it was released. How many people died to Force Aurora 9?
Like, many?
A bunch.
Druid things? Yeah.
That's literally how we got our first world champion.
Yeah. That they played the 9-mana card that dealt damage, and then the person receiving the damage was dead now. And also, that was the same format with Leroy Shadowstep. And Leroy cost 4, like, that was also, well, you know, it was an amount of damage that at times was not considered neither fun nor interactive, as I've been told by the memes.
You gotta remember, too, like, if you're gonna invoke the beginning of Hearthstone, like, it was a brand new card game.
Yeah.
People coming into it were coming to it from other card games, probably, Magic the Gathering. And so to come to a game with a perfect mana curve every single game was just like, oh, how can I abuse the living hell out of this and make sure I'm playing the most consistent, brutal deck I possibly can?
Right. And in Magic the Gathering, like, best of three is when you went to a tournament and played a best of three. Now, of course, it's different in a game where you have to physically shuffle pieces of paper. Like, that's going to take a while. But three games, you said your time limit is 50 minutes. And players would often hit that to play three games, which is kind of crazy. But then also you look at larger formats in Magic's history and even some more, even standard at certain points, and they're described as turn four formats, where both players are, like, the expectation is that one of the players will construct something that is good enough to win the game on the fourth turn. And that's also very aggressive, even though it takes longer because Magic is a game with more technical complexity. But yeah, that's probably where people were coming from. But I think to land in the number 12 with the past 7 years of Hearthstone's history is definitely just, like, a fault of memory. where you remember the really, really long games, but Facehunter doesn't want that, and it's probably the most popular game in the deck's, your most popular deck in the game's existence since the launch of Hearthstone. Facehunter's always been around, and I don't think that those players should go unheard. And really, don't listen to me about it. I think we should listen to the designers about it.
Well, it's a sure is a good thing that you recently got to talk to Alec Dawson on the Vicious Syndicate podcast.
Well, it is, isn't it? That'd be a really convenient segue if that's what I was doing.
It really would be, especially if he brought up or answered questions about control decks and game length in general.
Yes. So we were lucky enough to get a chance to talk to Alec, and the three main topics that we covered over there in the Vicious Syndicate podcast, and definitely, I don't shill my own podcast very often. Last week I was asked to shill something, and I shilled someone else's podcast for a game that I don't play. So this time, go there, but not to listen to me. It's to listen to the person that makes Hearthstone. And one of the people. There are a lot of people. They're all great. But Alec is, he's the lead final designer. And we asked about the length of games and does Blizzard hate control? Spoilers, they don't. About quest lines and about matchup polarity, among other things. But mostly those three topics. We only got half an hour and there was a lot to cover. Just the first 30 minutes of that show, I definitely recommend listening to hear it in Alec's words because I don't want to misrepresent anything that's being said. And also, he's good at his job and very passionate about it, and we had a lot of fun, and we memed on him a little bit, and I want you to hear those memes. I'm not going to spoil them here. And also, it's an important discussion to be had, because something about the Stormwind meta, the discourse is the phrase I use, there's something about this meta where there are always metas where people like them and don't like them. There's always personal opinions, but something about this one, the people that don't like them feel as though egregious objective design mistakes have been made with the game, that something is wrong, and the people that like them are like, this is fun. There have been other metas where, you know, you talk about cards being overtuned or whatever, but this is one of the few times I can think of where subjective enjoyment is being treated by the people that aren't enjoying it as an objective failure, and I think that I want to move as far away from that as possible, personally, because I am having a good time, and I don't like to be made to feel bad for enjoying the game as it currently is. I understand when people don't, but it's a preference, and one of the first things that Alec said in this interview was that the meta looked kind of like what they meant it to, even though they still believe it's too fast. The people that I think don't identify with this meta are like, oh my god, they meant it. I'm unhappy with current Hearthstone, and they wanted me to feel that way. No, that's not what he said. He just said, we expect it to look this way, but it's too fast. He repeatedly said, multiple times, this meta's a little faster than we want it to be. Hearthstone's a little faster than we want it to be. And in particular, one of the things that he said the team is aware of that I think is important for people to hear is that they know that the average mana cost of cards right now is a little bit too low, and it's really hard to play cool, expensive stuff. And that the 21.3 nerf, in particular, was meant to slow the game down for the quest to be a little bit slower so you can play something like a Troublemaker or Rattlegore or a Librum of Hope or whatever, or an Illidari Inquisitor, and end the game with something that costs more than 5. And that's, I think, a pretty good thing. I'll pause here and collect my thoughts.
I think it really gets to kind of the core of the kind of control and game length conversation that we opened this segment with, right? Like, because it certainly aligns with what I have anecdotally seen as a trend. Like a lot of folks saying, I want to play my large mana bombs. I want to play my cool expensive cards. Which
but I'm dead at that point in time.
yeah. Which I think is fair. I think you could, you know, if we want to sit here and have a debate that like 10 mana is arbitrary, it's like I just want to play cool cards. I don't really care what they cost personally. But I still, it's like big expensive cards should get played. Like yeah. I completely understand that desire.
And the designers agree with you. Alec, like they want that to happen. Alec talked about cool, expensive cards coming.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the power level is certainly high for the mana cost across the board with a lot of the things, a lot of the cards, minions, the tools in general that were added to the game this year. But the other thing that you got me thinking about, too, is like, we're thinking about trying to get turns to go longer. It's like it's like attack and health and mana values. We talk about this all the time, that it has to be, it's a whole number. You can't, there's no fractionals here. So if you're trying to add on a turn, you're adding on a full turn. You're adding, if you're trying to slow things down, trying to add one or two or three turns, you can't, there's not really a gray area. Games can feel longer because everyone's roping every turn because it's big brain plays or whatever, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about just trying to slow things down. They've already tried to slow it down once, and it sounds like in the dev's eyes, it's still quite not where they want it to be.
Yeah. Well, there have been 3 balance patches for Stormwind too. Like, remember when you would just die against a paladin on turn 5? They would go Conviction Coin Battlemaster and you would be dead on turn 5.
But I was the paladin, so...
But you remember making people experience that? You remember being part of the problem?
I did, and I kept experiencing it on Druid afterwards until I started hitting mages.
Mm. I don't think Druid's a problem. It's fine. We'll talk about it. but yeah, I don't know. Like, Joss, I don't know how much standard you've been playing here. Like, what has your experience been here?
I mean, I'm now playing, oh my God, I can't even believe I'm going to say this. I'm playing Demon Hunter.
Okay, let's take the notes, throw them in the trash. This is the show now.
Yeah, so I'm playing the, like, Fel Death Rattle, like, combo sort of deck, and Garrett's face is just giving me life right now. So I am playing the Fel Rattle Demon Hunter, and it's okay. It's only fun because I'm winning. I still feel bad about the class, but I was trying to play Pyro Warrior, and I was just playing mirror after mirror after mirror, and I was like, okay, if I'm gonna be seeing a bunch of warriors with the occasional mage, like, sprinkled in, what beats them? And Aegis Replay was like, hey, that's gonna be your Fel Rattle Demon Hunter. And I was like, god damn it, fine.
But hold on, the Demon Hunters that you were, that you had your initial strong reaction to, and this deck are really not the same.
True. It's definitely very true, is that this plays a little bit more tempo-y, a little bit less tricky. And yeah, like, things have sped up to the point that I don't really feel like Skull of Gul'dan is cheating anymore. It's like everything else is really fast. So, like, if I get to play an outcasted skull, I might still just die anyway.
It's, I mean, you're describing, you just described an arms race, but you used Hearthstone to describe it. And you're not wrong. You know, it's all relative. It's all relative at the end of the day. When Demon Hunter first hit, it felt so bad because nothing could do what it was doing. It's like we were all in Geo Metros and the Ferrari just got handed out to everybody. It's you're absolutely, I think, right on the money. It's fine. It's a Skull of Gul'dan. It's fine right now. Right, will it still feel fine if the average turn length gets pushed one more turn further?
Probably, yeah, still, and that's, yes, the thing. Like, I think it's only a turn or two in the other direction that will probably make it feel overpowered again. So, I mean, like, this is not an easy job. And the other reason that I'm actually enjoying Demon Hunter, stuck in my throat a little bit there, is because it's not a questline deck, honestly. Like I said, I was playing some Pirate Warrior after the changes that came last week, and the biggest thing that I found is just every single game was feeling really samey. And I know that that's a lot of what people are saying about quest lines in general. Not to mention, like, I got Mutanist a bunch, and that doesn't feel great. It's like I finished my quest and then chomp, chomp, chomp. And it just seemed, for whatever reason, he always got my quest reward, even when I had multiple minions in my hand. Didn't matter. He didn't want anything but that quest reward. And one way to avoid that is don't do a quest line. Then you can't get a reward and he's got nothing to eat. So it just, it was the kind of thing where I mean, I was watching a lot of Grandmasters. There's a lot of quest lines in Grandmasters. And then I was playing a lot of quest lines earlier. And then so after these changes, I was kind of like, OK, can I just have a non-quest line deck? Is there something good that doesn't have a quest? Ugh, it's Aggro Druid or it's Felrattle Demon Hunter. So I was like, you know what? I'll try Demon Hunter. I know, chat room. I know I'm a traitor. Don't hold it against me, please.
There's more than that, by the way. If there are three non-questline Paladin decks, Elemental Shaman, Face Hunter. I know you've kind of face hunted yourself out, but it's always there for you. It's always there for you.
That's true.
one of us on this podcast is very done with Hunter. The other is very done with Paladin. That's that.
Yeah.
Anyway, moral of the story, go listen to Alec Dawson's interview on Vicious Syndicate.
Yep. It was fun.
So let's just keep this rolling into the conversation we're going to have about the new meta. It's here. We've had a week now with the latest patch, and I've spent a decent amount of time in both Standard and Battlegrounds. We'll talk a little bit about Battlegrounds later. But let's keep it going with Standard, because I was really, really fixated on Battlegrounds and kind of came up for air this weekend. Was like, oh, all right, what in God's name is happening in Standard? And I posed that question to one Ridiculous Hat who went, just play Aggro Taunt Druid. And you gave me some really simple, really straightforward mulligan tips. I have followed them to a T, and I have ended with a 50% win rate on the dot.
By the way, the advice for those listening at home, here's what you do. One, play the list on viciouscyndicate.com. Two, here are the cards you are mulliganing for. Peasant if you are going first. Razormane Battleguard. Oracle of Alun. If you have a Battleguard, you can keep a taunt that's not encumbered pack mule. That is your mulligan. If you would like to keep other cards, no, you don't. You don't want to do that.
Throw a peasant away against Demon Hunter.
Yes. Don't keep that against Demon Hunter. Don't keep Far Watch Post against anything. I know you want to Watch Post people. I do too. But if you coin out Watch Post and then wonder why you're not killing the other deck, it's because you played a minion that can't attack on turn one. Yep. Mulligan for the good cards. In particular, Razormane Battleguard is a stupid, ridiculous card. I would not be surprised if it's nerfed before it rotates out of Standard, but enjoy it while you got it. And it's really, really insane. And just keep those cards. And then play your minions and hit the other person in the face.
Yeah, it works really well. Day one, I was laughing all the way to the bank. And then day two, I hit mages and down went my win rate. Still trying to figure that one out. That one hurts. But nonetheless, that one's been working for me. But we've mentioned Druid. We've mentioned Paladin. Paladin are Lieberming again, which I think is certainly a sign of the fact that we've maybe tacked an extra turn on average with the most recent patch, because before then it seemed like Librem was just far too slow.
You have time to play Librem of Hope, and before that, the format was hopeless.
Well played.
Thank you.
Groan.
I hate to admit it, but well played.
Thank you.
Yeah, so Librem is seeing a bit of a resurgence. Face Hunter is still doing well. We should probably talk about that mage, though, because Quest Mage seems to be having a bit of a party, maybe even a beach party.
It's common. Like, it's popular. It's seeing a lot of play, but it's not good in terms of win rate compared to a lot of the other decks. Like, it's very middle of the pack now. So I don't really know why there's so many people playing it other than maybe it's fairly easy to pilot. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
All right. So people listening to the show, if we said Quest Mage and you got angry, don't worry. We're going to talk about the feelings. We're going to get there. And there are many folks. So first of all, it is the most popular deck in the format. We should acknowledge that. But Spell Mage has been popular since Ashes, and it's been competitively viable since Barons. But the entire year of Ashes, people were still playing it. A lot of it. They love the being the mage thing and playing a bunch of spells because mages do spells because that's magic. You get the idea.
It's very unique to the class outside of specific meta outliers like Spell Hunter.
it's very much the mage class fantasy combined with it's very evocative of classic freeze mage in Hearthstone or of Un'Goro burn mage, those sort of things where it's this is what mage has done multiple times before in Hearthstone too. It's not very expensive. If you own one deck and you go into Stormwind and they have nerfed things that you've enjoyed three times since the expansion come out and you know the mini set is coming and you know Mercs is coming, screw it, I'm just going to play the deck I have and it's probably Quest Mage. There's a lot of reason to play it. It's fun. It's decent enough. When it wins, it feels incredible. And when it loses, you can blame it on, oh, I didn't draw on Canterslow or whatever. Like, you can justify the loss, but the wins feels like you're playing a different kind of game than your opponent. And those are really, like, addictive feeling games. Like, it's really enthralling. It's got the class fantasy. It's not that expensive to craft. They don't nerf it that much because the only thing Mage has to do right now, because sorry, Wildfire, but Mordresh is good, but the Wildfire deck is not very good. There's a lot of reason to keep playing it. And it's just, it checks all the boxes. It is a design win in terms of the people that like playing it. The problem from there, if we want to call it a problem, and I'm not sure I'm ready to yet, but I'm ready to predict that it will be, is that it influences the experience of ladder to be somewhat homogenized because you're going to see a mage fairly frequently, about 3 out of every 20 games for on average, and that means that the average thing, some days you will run into, you'll play 10 games and play 8 mages, and that's still can fit overall in the variance of 3 out of every 20 games. You got all the mage games together, and then it'll even out over time. And mage is, the way that it wins is not something that everybody likes to experience. If you're trying to play something that's a little bit less refined, and then you die to fireballs again, that's not a great feeling. If you're trying to play something that maybe is a little slower, because maybe control will be good this time, and then you die to fireballs, it's not a great experience. and the way to beat it as any deck, the throwback reference I'm going to make for those old timers, for those back in my days out there listening to the show and those of us in the call, this is Un'Goro Quest Rogue. The way to beat it is to be as aggressive as possible no matter what you're playing. Play your stuff on curve, doesn't matter if you're getting value, play your Blood Shard Bristlebacks on 3 or whatever and hit them in the face.
Are you saying that I am the beatdown?
Yes. There is the binary interaction. The way to beat Mage without shenanigans that already exist in your deck, like Celestial Alignment or Glide or whatever, is to, if it's a bad matchup, play your stuff as aggressively as possible and go face. It's a binary thing. It's a race of either I'm going to kill them or they're going to kill me. And
we're all hunters now.
Right. And Un'Goro Quest Rogue and current Mage, they weren't win rate outliers, but they were experience outliers in terms of how much we heard about them. Because the way that it beats you feels terrible if you don't like dying from hand or even if you're just trying something different. It's linear and direct and doesn't deal with the board at all and aligns with a lot of people's criticism of the meta. It's not good enough to be a win rate nerf, but a significant enough portion of enough people's experiences to be a feels thing that really stands out. And Garrett, my understanding is that you had some feelings today.
Oh, well, yeah, as I said, was doing well until I started hitting the mages with that Druid deck. And it just, the fourth mage I saw today, and be honest, I straight up conceded. I didn't want to play that game. Had three really bad experiences before.
Which is 100% what they're saying they don't want you to do.
word for word in the interview.
Listen, I am 100% a special little snowflake and just not... You know.
Hey, I get you. I was conceding against Demon Hunter for like a year. I get it. I totally understand just not wanting to play against a class. I get it. I'm curious because the aggro is the way that Hat says to play to beat mages. You have a deck that's meant to aggro, and yet for some reason it's got a lower win rate again. Like still... like 45%, like it's still close, but it's, you know, you're definitely on the losing end of that. So, Hat, explain yourself. This is an aggro deck. It should beat the mages.
Tondru is slightly unfavored. Well, it's like Paladins too. It's not just aggro. It's disruption and damage from hand are really, really important against mage. The counter damage from hand. Death Rattle Demon Hunter is one of the best counters. Because, first of all, when they kill yourself, it doesn't actually die. Second of all, you play Watchpost and Neophyte. Third of all, you play like Felsteel Executioner, which turns into a big sword, and then you play Illidari Inquisitor, and your big sword gets a demon buddy that just comes along for the ride, and then the mage blows up, and that's really cool. But Taunt Druid...
I do like making mages blow
right,
up.
Right. And so, and you don't play the Inquisitor, you play Jace, and Jace, like, he weaves his dark, Jace, and then, like, and then the mage is gone.
That you laugh as your board is cleared, because you just go, you fell directly into my trap, you silly Jaina.
Right.
Exactly. And they're not playing the missiles that would change that.
No devolving missiles usually, because they don't need to, because they just flurry and brain freeze. If you're playing one minion a turn, they flurry and brain freeze. If you go wide and you're weak to fire sail, they always have it on turn four. So like you can try and play around it, but you also have to run. You can't run the risk of holding too much back, because then you give them time, and them having the removal spell happens sometimes. But if you don't play your stuff, it's like they got it for free. And you're giving them time guaranteed, and time is never something that you want as any kind of deck against mage. You always want the game to be over sooner rather than later. So you have to thread this needle of, I need to put pressure on them, make them have it, hope they don't. If they do, I need to refuel. If they don't, I can't overinvest in case they top deck it, which may or may not have happened today to somebody in this call.
Yes, the overinvesting and needing gas are two very scary things with the Druid deck, because you tend to go wide at a certain point and you only have one very specific way to refuel, and it involves things staying alive long enough to have an extra two mana.
Yeah. So the deck is based on really efficient frost mechanics, a lot of card draw, not playing for board, and then killing you out of nowhere. I am not surprised people don't love that experience, even though playing with it is fun, and it's not, like, it's not easy to play, but it's not that complex of a game plan to figure out.
No. That's the thing. I like playing Mage. I played quite a lot of it at the beginning of this whole of storm gestures to Stormwind generally.
This whole experience.
This whole experience. Yeah, it's really probably the most I've ever enjoyed playing Mage. It hasn't been as I've mentioned before, I've kind of always been like a Pally Warlock Shaman player, and every now and then I go and have a side relationship with Hunter. That's about it.
Side piece.
I'm not monogamous in Hearthstone, but it's a closely open relationship.
It's you dabble. Listen. It Guff sometimes just gets in that pool, and you're like, you know, that looks kind of nice, Guff.
Why'd you have to go with Guff? He is the...
He's my portrait. Fawn friend Guff is my portrait.
I love Roy Kent.
Who doesn't love
Who
Roy
doesn't,
Kent?
Yeah.
Who doesn't? I don't think I've ever had such a strong man crush before.
Yeah, but I do want to touch on the freeze part of Mage and why that feels so bad to play against, because I feel like freeze has been this mechanic that they've wanted in Hearthstone but have always struggled to make fun, just because it's only ever fun for one side. Like, if I'm the mage playing freeze or other classes that have had access to it, because, you know, everybody remembers freeze shaman, right?
Now, I
don't remember Roxicon's Rumble.
Yeah. Well, I think what they said about Freeze Shaman originally, I think Ixar said this during an AMA, that, like, they made it good and then it was horrible for everybody else, so then they made it bad. Because for sure, original Thrall DK was a freeze effect. And then they realized that maybe a repeatable freeze was, like, not great. Like, you don't want to do that. But
well,
then
yeah,
they made Jaina anyway.
Yeah, it feels good as the person who's playing it to be like, I did a thing, now I'm not going to die. But on the other side of that, you have, you know, your opponent who's sitting there going, okay, great, now I can't do anything with all of my stuff. And that doesn't feel good. It's like, even if stuff gets full on removed, it's like, that's a part of the game, but just having it be stuck just feels so much worse.
There's definitely a psychological study to be had there about moving on. Well, when it's destroyed and gone, well, all right, it no longer exists. Time to move on with my life. But when I can sit there and stare at it, but I can't do anything with it.
doesn't help that the freeze mechanics are also incredibly counterintuitive in Hearthstone about how it works. Because, like, you can get your Illidari Inquisitor frozen, and it seems like that shouldn't be able to hit you in the face, and it can hit. It does that. And you think about any time freeze has been good, no one has ever been happy when freeze has been good except the person playing the freeze, because mm-hmm. we have the rotated Frost Nova, and when they made Ray of Frost, that wasn't good for anybody, and they nerfed Mana Worm because of it, and I'm still not over it. And, like, and they did...
And Pat took that personally.
I did. My sweet wormy boy. He did nothing wrong except kill people way too quickly. Just give him 2 health. It's fine. And also, the Turtle Mage. That also didn't go super well. It wasn't like... There weren't a lot of people that were like, I really want my board frozen every turn.
It's a real, I think, testament to the design of Hearthstone that this has consistently been taken into account. Like, I think freeze and the constant kind of stripping of its power is really, I think, proof in action that they do take feels into account when designing and balancing this game. I don't think anything is a true constant when it comes to goals. Like, I don't think anything's carved in stone when it comes to the devs' goals for designing Hearthstone. I think they like to kind of push the envelope and revisit things that have previously caused hurt feels and see if they can find the balance of it being impactful but not too impactful, but also not a feels bad experience. But yeah, again, I look at freeze as a big example of that. I look at the priest changes last week as an example of that. Like, a lot of this, although that was also a skewed win rate, the priest situation, but
priest had some stuff going on. And really, I think mage has a priest situation right now where it feels like they don't know how to design for it without breaking something, and then they have to pull it back and kill the class. It's happened multiple times, because remember last year we had 7 mana Solarian, 1 mana Evocation, and that wasn't something that people were a huge fan of after a little while. And that also involved efficient freeze effects. And a lot of, flashing lights and then a bunch of generated cards and then Conjurer's Calling on a 0 mana Mana Giant and then the game was over. I don't think that was an experience that people loved either, and they nerfed some stuff.
No. And I think a lot of this leads to kind of the meta we find ourselves in, right? Because another one of those things that was like feels bad, and there was also certain instances over Hearthstone's history where it was win rate too good, was, 30-0 dead from hand sort of things. Like, that has also been a thing that has been knocked down and basically destroyed over the course of Hearthstone's history, which leads us to now, which is where you have these decks like Druid, like big damage out of minions that suddenly have Wind Fury in the case of Paladin and other decks, where it's not dead from hand, but you are dead from board, where the board, like a few things on board, need to live one turn and then you're doomed. And mage is very good at dealing with that. That's where a lot of the burst is coming from right now, and mage can laugh that off.
Yep. And the from hand decks mage is less good at dealing with, but those are not widely played across most of ladder. They're the things you see in Grandmasters, your Garrote Rogues and your OTK Demon Hunters, but they really don't replicate that success across the rest of ladder. Like, they just kind of vanish at a certain point, and they're just not part of the experience for most people, so mage tends to be the standard bearer there.
Yeah.
I don't know. They did buff some stuff. Joss, you said
they did?
Yes. Joss, I'm going to tell you my favorite pirate joke. Do you know what a pirate's favorite letter is?
C.
Correct. See, the usual line there, the usual line there is that people are like, R, and then you say, no, his first love be the C. And then, it's a crowd pleaser.
I was like, I know I've fallen into this trap before. What's the right answer?
But I wanted to share this joke with you so that it's not so that you would fall for it now. It's so that in the future, there will be a time when it's right, and you'll know. And you'll tell that joke, and they'll fall hook, line, and sinker.
I feel anchored to this joke.
Oh, man. So, yeah, I was playing some Pirate Warrior. So they did get, so they got 3 buffs. There was 1 health given to 3 different Pirate Warrior minions. And I can't believe how popular it is now. Like, it seemed like buffs, yes, but small buffs. And then all of a sudden it was like, that was all it needed. Now, that one drop going from a 2-1 to a 2-2, that was pretty huge. that was yeah. gross.
Yeah, and it appears like, to have been...
Those little changes make so much of a difference at a low mana cost, right?
Yeah.
Well, and also what got taken away. Because, like, we're not dealing with Perpetual Flame into Brucon Fast.
Oh,
or
I thought you said it got taken away. No, I'm like, wait, what?
This meta is kind of defined by, like, 21.3 was not just about the additions, but about the meaningful subtraction of things that we don't have to deal with the same way anymore. And it really, like, Big Warrior and Liberum Paladin did not get buffs, but they're here.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. And not necessarily having to worry about, like, crazy efficient early removal all the time, because Warlock is gone too, right? So, because Warlock was doing things, it wasn't letting me play minions either, and I didn't like that.
There's a pretty mean Zoo variant going around right now.
Oh, I haven't run across any of those yet.
It bodied me. I felt like this was the closest I have felt in a very long time to, like, summon and Hearthstone put a hit out on me. It felt like turning the ignition in my car and dying instantly.
Yeah, I tried out that deck and I played 2 Flesh Giants in turn 5 and I was like, I thought they nerfed this.
Do we have a name for that deck?
The original tweet that brought it to attention from Frenetic called it Zoo. I think of it as, like, Turbo Giant, because that's really, like, you're just trying to get giants as fast as possible, because it's, when you call it Zoo, it plays Flame Imp and Bloodbound Imp, but you tap on 2 an awful lot. Like, this is not Flame Imp, Coin, Voidwalker, Zoo. It's not that experience at all. You play the quest on 1.
The one I saw is also running Tor Guides, so saying you tap on 2 doesn't mean you're necessarily paying for it.
Sure. Right, but this mana isn't about paying for things. It's about not doing that. Even post-nerf, it's still about finding the mana reductions. But yeah, it's like Zoo is what people called it because it plays Flame Imp, Bloodbound Imp, and you do end up playing, like, Matron Hand and Flesh Giants and all that. But where Zoo has been the past 2 years versus where Zoo has been classically is pretty far apart. It's been either Dark Flare,
Like, it almost feels like a combo Zoo, because you're just when it works, it is this combination of effects where it just pops off. And by nature of having Dark Glare at the right place at the right time with tour guides and all kinds of other business, that it just deploys its hand while drawing more things to play.
Yeah. The entire purpose of the deck, the reason you play the imps, the Bloodbound and the Flame Imp, is just to hit yourself in the face as quickly as possible. There are times where, like, I will keep Raise Dead so that I can tap into, like, Flame Imp, Let It Die, and Raise Dead it back to proc the quest to play the Flame Imp again. You just want to get to Flesh Giant as rapidly as possible. That's the only thing that matters here. So I've been thinking of it as a Turbo Giant Warlock. It's fun. I think the original Handlock is also just fine. Like, it's good, but it's less popular right now. Whereas Pirate Warrior is way more popular. So which version were you playing?
So I'm just playing the one that's on HS Replay. So it's pretty fast. It kind of tops out at, like, the Cutting Class and the Stone Mall dude. It's not, like, it's not doing any crazy late game stuff. It's not, like, Control. It doesn't have Mutanus. It doesn't have, I think some lists are playing Kresh. I've definitely been Mutanist, which is annoying. But yeah, it doesn't have a lot of stuff that's in the, like, Control variant of it. I'm just playing the more, like, aggressive, do the quest as fast as you can and, you know, just get her down.
Yeah, I've seen a decent amount of this. Lots of games played if you're looking at stats websites. And it looks like it's doing pretty damn well. The win rate is quite high. But it does seem to have some Achilles heels, like Aggro Druid, for example.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You beat this deck with a single Annoyotron, and they're like, well, my next 2 turns don't do anything anymore.
Yeah,
and for me, like I said, where I'm playing on the ladder, it was extremely popular, and I was playing, like, mirror match, Control Warrior match, which is mirror-ish, and then after that, I, you know, would get a mage, and then I'd go mirror again, and I'm like, oh, you know what, this just is not that fun.
And I know people want games to slow down a bit. Juggernaut versus Juggernaut is really unpleasant as far as a gameplay experience goes. It feels highly variant. I'm not sure it is, but it sure feels that way. Because you have Cannonball RNG, Pirate RNG, and Weapon RNG
and
competing.
Weapon RNG, yeah.
And it's just like, when you get Swashburglar and Whetstone Hatchet, and then your opponent hits an Anchorman and a Gore Howl, you're like, this doesn't feel the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That's definitely how it was feeling for me, is that, like, it really mattered who got it down first, because it obviously doesn't activate right away. It activates when the turn gets passed back to you, so there's that little bit of a delay, and then when it starts to activate, you're just like, oh, just please work. And you know, when it does work, you're like, haha, I just gore held your face, suck it. And then when it doesn't work, you're like, oh man, now I'm dead. And there's not a whole lot of in between.
And now I'll just be singing the suck it song from The Office. Thanks, Josh.
You're welcome.
Caught in my head all night while I try and sleep. That's cool. Interesting that you bounced off of it so quickly for mirror reasons and not because you were seeing Druid reasons, but
yeah, I'm actually really surprised that Druid has the win rate that it does, given that my ladder experience has just been pirates everywhere. And I wonder if it's just that, like, people haven't had Warrior for a while, because I know that was one of the reasons that I went to go play it, is I was like, hey, I haven't played a Warrior deck in a bit, so I'm going to go give it a try. And I think everyone was kind of in that same, at least everyone in my ladder bracket or whatever, was kind of in that same headspace. But I haven't seen any Druid.
I mean, Warrior's like that scene in Spider-Man Homecoming. If you can't win without the bomb, you don't deserve it.
I do miss Bomb Warrior. That was the last time I played Warrior, I think.
Yes, that's what made me think of it.
Yeah.
they kind of lost their bombs, and for a while there, it was kind of like, how does this work?
Mm-hmm.
Well, with Rush. Rush Warrior was kind of good for...
Oh, yeah, Rush Warrior.
It had a hot moment, right?
Outside of the first 2 weeks of the expansion when you were playing Paladin, Deck of Lunacy, or other, outside of that, Rush Warrior was good the whole time.
Other?
It's...
Oh.
That's brutal. What was happening, right? Like, it's...
No, it's so funny.
Yeah. And also the Mage was the other, because Mage played more in the Grand Slams than Hunter ever did.
Fair. Anyways, if you want a complete list of all of the different archetypes that we've kind of assembled here that we've been seeing that are popular, they're in the show notes. Over at theangrychicken.com, look for the episode 435 post. It's always a Google Docs link at the bottom of the post. Otherwise, it would look like an absolute word vomit. It's too much to put in a blog post.
It's true.
And sometimes links break. We used to do that. It no one needs to see that. It's terrible. It's also bad for SEO. Anyways, before we move on and talk about Battlegrounds, we're sponsored by ourselves this week. That's right. By ourselves. Hat, do you have anything else to promote besides Vicious Syndicate podcast with Alec Dawson?
Yeah, I want to hear about the Gaslow nerf.
Well, you should listen to Into the Nexus.
Well, it's who hosts Into the Nexus? Who's on that show?
Kyle Ferguson and this other jackass.
Does he have a Twitter? The other guy?
It's Garrett Art with two T's though. I know Garrett is only ever spelt with one T, so it's very confusing. But
oh, I'll change the notes. Sorry, my bad.
Yeah, if you could get rid of that one, thank you so much. The only way to spell Garrett is with one T. It's definitely not two.
There we go. I figured it out.
Oh my gosh. dear listeners, Hat just changed my name to Garrote in the chat in the show notes. We're going to talk all about the Heroes of the Storm patch that dropped today on Into the Nexus this Thursday. That podcast is still going because Heroes of the Storm is still going and still getting updates. I made a joke on Twitter today that Overwatch 2 is advertising hero reworks, and over in Heroes of the Storm, we just call that patch day. We don't have to wait for a whole new box that. Product that we like, have to pay
damn.
For.
Hold on. Did HOTS add any hats? Are there any HOTS? HOTS hats?
No. No, I mean, there's another joke there too, where some games are getting rid of big red love rockets, and we still got butt cheeks in our game. So
I'm gonna ask about the context of that after the show.
Oh, is that
White Mane?
Well, just that Heroes of the Storm has like the thirstiest skins in the Blizzard portfolio.
But they're all this big.
Well, yeah, but when you're loading up,
little buttons that cannot lie.
I mean, when you're loading up, though, they're still very noticeable.
That's true. That's true. You can spin those to very suggestive angles.
Yes. Yes. I mean, you can.
This is the thing I've done.
You can also spin, lumberjack Uther to very suggestive angles. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is a low cut plaid shirt.
It's very true.
Yeah, you can hear thoughts like this and more on Into the Nexus. Jocelyn, what would you like to promote?
Children's charity, actually.
That's quite the segue.
I know.
It's
for the kids. So it is Extra Lifetime again. We are going to be supporting the Children's Miracle Network of Hospitals over at the Gamers Inn. This is our 10th year actively participating in Extra Life. My goal is just under $2,000 US because that will put me at $15,000 raised for the Children's Miracle Network over 10 years. And it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of streams all through October, November, and December. It's going to be October on Friday. What? So streams are coming up really quick. So I think the first game we're going to be streaming is... I should have looked it up and I totally forgot, but it's the newest entry into the Dark Anthology series, which is a really cool, like... adventure horror game that you play co-op, but you play at the same time, but you experience different things. So it's just like, it's a really, really cool experience to stream with a friend. So
House of Ashes is the new one.
House of Ashes. Thank you. I was like, it's Ashes something and I forget. So yes, House of Ashes is the new one. And so we'll be streaming that when it comes out. So do go check it out. If you would like to donate to the cause, you can head on over to bit.ly/TGI Extra Life 2021.
Sick. Go check all of these things out. And also, now we're going to talk about Battlegrounds.
Have a good battle, friend.
This is the second time today I'm going to go, the new meta is here. What the hell is going on? Except it's for Battlegrounds instead of standard Hearthstone. By the way, I still cannot get over the Hearthstone button in Hearthstone.
It's hilarious. So weird, right?
It's like, really weird. It's like, I know I'm in Hearthstone. I clicked the button when I came in here. It's somewhere, I don't remember if it was on the show or not, but it is some real Call of Duty presents Call of Duty ass.
That was not on the show, but that's very funny. And there's plenty of time to contemplate this. In the 10 seconds, every time you log into a client, want to play a BG, click the modes button and say, well, I'm dumb.
I have finally, I think just yesterday was the first time I didn't do that.
I'm proud of you.
I feel like I need like a sticky note on my screen over where the modes button shows up. Just says no.
That wouldn't at all be inconvenient for literally any other use of your screen.
Doesn't matter.
Do you have arena players being inconvenienced first time?
Yeah, unless you've got like Slissa set up where she has that like small screen in the middle that's just dedicated to Hearthstone. I don't know if anyone's seen her tweet out her setup. It blew my mind. This is dedication right here. Anyways, yeah. So there's a massive update to Battlegrounds as well. By the way, if you want to hear us break down the patch and as a whole, that's what we did on episode 434. Last week's episode, we covered it all except duels. So if you want to hear that, go check that out. But it really seems like here we are a week later that the Battlegrounds meta is now that mechs and murlocs are on top. Murlocs getting just a little bit higher value at the upper MMR, but really these two are neck and neck for the top spot in terms of the top performing compositions that you can draft. And beyond that, the big loser is obviously frogs. Frog comp seems to have more or less gone the way of the dodo. I've still run into a few that have made it work, but I think it's very draft dependent. It's very lobby dependent. And like how lucky they are. I think the first time I lost to frogs post patch, they had like a golden Baron, two frogs and a golden macaw.
It takes a lot more now to make it work. It's really difficult. And I think, cause like what we were saying last week is, the difference is actually really big because you have to find three frogs now to get what one solo frog used to give you, right? Because the golden version of new frogs is the same as the normal version of old frogs. So yeah. It's like you really, and you can't do like two golden versions because like you're running out of board space at that point. So it is very much like you start to need your golden barons and your golden macaws to really make it work. And it can still get there. I've had some luck depending on which hero I'm currently playing, as well as like what my lobby's like and stuff like that. I find that it'll get me to a top four, but usually not any further than that. Everybody else just scales way, way quicker.
Yeah, with some exceptions. I mean, Quillbore and Pirates both got buffs, which we talked about last week, and they don't really seem to be doing any better.
They're better. They're not good.
Right. They're less bad, how I would categorize it. Which also means that Menagerie is still down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the entire BG's rework was about like strong rewarding synergies in a really, really significant way. And Menagerie, for whenever Menagerie was good, it felt like it meant that other classes just like weren't powerful enough to keep up with Amalgadons and like Blade Fangs and Brands and whatever, or Ag and Flat Tusk. I like the synergy payoff a little bit more, but I don't like that whiffing on a synergy hurts you so hard, because Menagerie is also kind of this catch-all thing where you could kind of just limp into it and then scale.
Yeah, it was a backup. If you weren't able to go down the road you were trying to, then it was kind of like, okay, you're at tier 4, 5, 6 now. You know, it's the second half of the game. You don't seem to be able to get all the mechs. What can we do instead? And you still had a viable like detour option.
I don't know. I'm a big supporter of Menagerie. I think it rewards game knowledge and also just games played, because you really learn where the power is and how you can make a disparate group of what seems like random crap work. So I don't know. I really like it. I really miss it. That's the thing I think I have felt more than anything. Maybe Pirates. Quillbore's been kind of down in the dumps for so long that them being kind of low on the average finish just kind of seems like their place right now to me. But
remember when they were the most busted thing BGs had ever seen for a week and a half?
Yes.
Yeah, and like, it was still somehow
scarred by that. Like, I'm like, yeah, Quillbore, stay down in the ditch. I never want to see you again, you stupid pigs.
This is the demon hunter of Battlegrounds.
Yeah, hold on. This is the Demon Hunter battle.
Except the Demon Hunter you're playing now has Quillbore in it in standard.
I know.
It doesn't count. It doesn't say Quillbore on a tag at the bottom of the card.
Mm.
And it doesn't do anything with other Quillbores, and I don't get any gems in my hand.
Wait, isn't there a chance that it pulls another? No, that's a boar that'll pull the Quillbore. It's not a Quillbore pulling the Quillbore. Never mind.
Just a regular. What, Razor and Quill are like, or they're different. Different kind of boar.
Mm-hmm. What if it has a quill stuck in its hoof?
In its paw?
I almost said paw.
For Quillbore.
Yeah.
Would that make it? I mean, it would be a boar with a quill.
Then it would be,
I don't think having a quill stuck in your hoof transforms.
Existential question.
If I get a splinter in my foot, I'm not a splinter man.
You could call yourself one. It would be accurate.
That'd be a very poor superhero. Like, that's not a great superhero name.
I mean, I'm already a very poor superhero. My power is back pain.
Yes. Yeah, we call that being in your 30s.
It's sadly true.
Yeah, one too many times being the tallest person in a mosh pit. You're going to catch those crowd surfers every time.
I definitely relate to that experience of being the tallest person anywhere. You know, elementary schools quite frequently, children's movies, places where everyone else is sitting down already. You know?
First one on the escalator.
Listen. Yeah. When I stand up after the flight is over, I fully stand up and don't hit my head. Still under the bulkhead, I just fully stand up and I don't hit my head.
Oh man, that legitimately sounds nice. I don't know what that's like.
Yeah.
I do not know what that's like.
But then I have to reach to get my bag out of the top. Like, there's ups and downs to this whole thing.
Has anyone looked at how the heroes are performing?
It keeps telling me to be Daryl.
That's been true since before the patch. Daryl shot up after his buff. He hurts my brain. I've been off Daryl so long.
Same. Yeah. Same. I'm like, there is no way this guy is good because I'm dying so hard. I don't know what I'm doing. Things I think should work don't work. How do you, Daryl? Brain explosion.
So it's really, I've noticed and have picked up from watching people better than me that it seems to really be about kind of taking a turn off and double buffing over two turns a single minion to the best of your ability as you get later into the game. And obviously your mileage is going to vary depending on which minions you find.
Right? Yes. Yeah. Because I know, like, I feel like when I see Daryl's play against me and they kick my butt, they always have the little pup guy, the pup bot or whatever it is from tier one.
Yeah. That's great.
A bajillion. And I'm like, how did that even happen for you? I didn't find one my entire game.
Well, it is. I mean, it's tier one, so it's going to be the most copies in the pool. It comes with Divine Shield out of the gate. It comes from the store that way. You don't have to modify it. And so you can dance on multiples of them. And then when you combine it into a golden, you get a giant puppy. So, yeah, I was trying to think of a joke there. That's just called a mastiff, a giant puppy.
There you go.
Yeah, there it is. There it is. But yeah, I've had some really good games with him, and I've had some games where it just felt like, why would I ever pick this hero on purpose? But every time I've had a successful game with Daryl, it's been real close. I've yet to have one where I just hit the obviously good minions. Everyone's doing well with mech. Daryl especially does well. Like, if you can find an early Deflecto that you can dance on, yeah, he's just gonna run away with it. I have not had that experience once.
Me either. Buff.
But I have gotten multiple top twos. I don't think I've gotten a first place with Daryl, but it's been damn close. But all of those games, I'm at single digit health, pretty early into the lobby. So it's been.
It's stressful.
Competition.
It's stressful. Yeah. Like, it's BGs is usually my iPad mode, and I play it a lot with my wife, and I will pick other heroes that are not Daryl that are worse that I don't have to think about it. Like, it's
I'm really glad that you said that, Hat, because I'm doing the same thing right now. Yeah. Is that like I'm thinking, I'm like, okay, I know that you guys are really good, you couple of heroes, but I'm just gonna take like an AFK or something that's just super straightforward, not to think about.
Well, Master Win is like, Master Win is the way to go for like variety of experience, but I pick one of two things and then I play my turn and then it's great. But Daryl is like, that's a lot of work, man.
I'm the absolute opposite. Not only do I straight up not understand how anyone can play Battlegrounds on a touchscreen device of any sort, I don't even play this on my laptop because I use a wireless mouse on my laptop and it's heavy, and I can't make movements fast enough to play Battlegrounds on my laptop with a heavy wireless mouse.
I can't make like brain connections fast enough to play Battlegrounds on any complicated hero.
Gary, you need a new mouse? I can hook you up, buddy. Like, we can get a mouse there.
I don't want a wired mouse. I don't want a wired mouse on my laptop.
They make wireless mice that aren't heavy. Like, that's a thing that you cannot have. You can have a wireless mouse.
I bought it last year. It's like new-ish.
Do you need a BG mouse specifically? You need like a zoomy mouse? It's
super. Oh my god.
I need weight reduction. I need to treat this thing like a shitbox track car. Take out the carpet. Take out everything that is not essential.
And get you a wrist brace and a super light mouse. Oh, yeah, yeah. Just take out everything else. Right, the one button.
Send me a Gen 1 Mac mouse. Oh, sorry, they're still dumb and only have one button. Send me any Mac mouse ever.
In the movie of Garrett Plays Battlegrounds, the movie, it has to charge midway through, and it's got the stupid port in the bottom, and then you play it upside down, then you win, and everybody carries you off the stage. Oh, I want to see this movie so bad. Yeah. But anyways, so I turn up the frame rate in my iPad to 60 FPS, and like, it's fast enough and it's fine. And also, like, if something requires me to have more APM to win more, I'm just like, I would rather be second and do less.
I would rather play standard on a touchscreen and save Battlegrounds for when I'm in front of my desk.
No, I would rather play BGs and instead of picking Daryl, pick, I don't know, Umu, and just press the one level button instead of blah, 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 blah.
Okay, hold up. Could you give me an example that doesn't involve two very good heroes? It's like, oh, I'm going to go from this one good hero and pick this other good hero.
Maligos.
Almost still top 10.
Maligos. I would rather just Maligos, because then I get to zoop twice a turn, and, like, I get to do stuff. I get to zoop here and zoop there, two zoops. And then, like, sometimes you high roll into something cool. Or you zoop your own, like, you take a take an Argus, and then you zoop it and come something else. Yes, I'm going to keep saying that word.
I love that word.
But that's what, because when you're playing Maligos, you point them in, and you're like, zoop, and then something new. You're going to say that now every time you do it, and I hope that you do that.
Every single freaking time. I'm just going to zoop, zoop, zoop.
But that's what he does. Yeah.
Zoop the loop, everybody. Zoop the loop.
Exactly. Yep. So I'll take a Maligos, which is objectively significantly worse than a Daryl. And I'll be like, I'll top four maybe, or I'll not. But it's okay because, like, BG's, like, it's I'm not pushing my rating the same way that I'm going in standard. Like, it's I'm happy with where I am in BG's, but, like, it's not a mode I invest a ton of time into. I don't expect that many results back, and I like zooping. So I'm going to zoop.
Okay, that being said, real quick, just a mini standard break before we leave Battlegrounds. And let's just do the hat legend forecast. What tiny number are you now in legend?
50.
Good God.
Damn.
Yeah. Been a good week.
Good God.
Good month, season. Yeah, it's, I am not normally a two-digit gamer. Like, this is a new thing for me last month and this month. So I don't want to give any kind of impression like, oh yeah, this is a normal thing. I am freaking out every single time I log in. I'm like, oh my God, is this somebody else's account? What's going on? But it's my account.
Well, you had a really good Twitter thread in this past week about ladder anxiety. And I'm like,
oh yeah,
I am actually so glad that Hat is feeling it a little bit right now, because I felt so alone.
Oh no.
In my crazy ladder anxiety.
Well, it's such a thing. We cover that.
I don't wish it on anyone, but at the same time, I kind of feel good that you're there with me.
Yeah. I right now, my desire is to just not suck in standard. And I feel like I suck. And I feel like I wouldn't suck if I just went back to Paladin, but I don't want to just go back to Paladin. It feels like a cop out.
It's okay. Learning a new thing is cool, and challenging yourself is how you get better as a player. And I've been doing a lot of that lately, and it's worked. But the voice inside my head versus the results in Hearthstone keep getting further and further apart as to, like, what the client is telling me I'm doing versus how I feel like I'm doing. They're not even close anymore. And so I wanted to talk about it because I would do we covered this a lot in Coin Conceit this past week. We had the entire destination topic was just ladder anxiety, and Edelweiss and Vodka are in the same place. That it's when I would win one game, I would say it's too good to be true and close the client and reopen it 15 minutes later to play one more game. But if I would lose, I would instantly queue back up because, like, you know, on the one hand, you can't end in a loss. But on the other hand, that, you know, of course you lost. That's what you deserve. You don't belong here. And just kind of dealing with the fusion of those two feelings intense. But, like, the thread got really good traction. Language Hacker retweeted, and it's like, I still get anxious playing. He's a grandmaster.
Yeah. I mean, that also, that made me
literally
feel good,
too. Top 50.
Yeah.
Like, stop.
You're
yeah.
top 50. He's a GM. Man, like, I feel very seen.
Yeah.
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 So.
No, dude. Nine times, literally anyone else, I would go, dude, just compare yourself to like, us two. You're nuts. But you're literally on every Hearthstone podcast that exists, so I don't know what everyone else's rank is. But, like, take a moment and just bask in it, man. Take your top 50 legend bath bomb, throw it in the bathtub, and
so they make those.
They should, like, little legend.
I've got a new merch idea.
Yeah, put glitter in your bath and, like, fizz with the, I don't, what would legend smell like?
No, hold on. You do one for each mercenary.
Stale energy.
I want the guff bomb. I want the guff bomb. I also. I do not want to smell like Tamsin. She does not smell good. I am certain of it.
But you just think of hellfire and brimstone. I guess sulfur? Sulfur. Sulfur is the scent of hell and demons.
She smells like farts.
Yeah. Dead person farts, which are the worst kind. The digestive system doesn't even work anymore. So that's just rank.
And on that delightful note, let's take an email or two before we wrap up here.
Hello?
Hello, it's me.
Hello.
Just quickly, do you get my message?
Yep.
Oh.
Hello, brother.
You can send your emails to tacpodcast@gmail.com. If you're supporting us over at patreon.com/TAC, message us there. Talk to us in the Discord. At us. If you know, it's cool. It's what we're there for. We're there to chat. Anyways, Jacob N. wrote in and says, do you think Blizzard will ever consider the idea of banning problematic neutral cards only in the offending class when that is the case? A recent example is Crystallizer and Warlock for Wild. This would allow the card to continue to be used as it is, at its intended base powered level in other classes and strategies. If it's only a problem in one class, why take it away from everyone else? I would imagine that it's a coding level concern.
I mean, yes, probably. I mean, again, I don't know how Hearthstone is built, but I imagine each card gets like a class flag. So when we've seen cards that have been like dual class cards or tri-class cards, they've probably had to make a new class, I would think, and then, you know, list the ones it was able to be used in, which means that they, every single time that they did this, they'd have to make like a class that included everything but Warlock. And then they'd have to delete that again. And that seems like a lot of work for one thing. I would hope that on every card, it's like checkboxes where it's like, yes, you can have it here, or neutral. But it's probably not.
Right now, there's someone listening that actually works on this game going, oh, God, I wish it was that easy.
Yeah, which also could be the case. There could be some wild and wacky, crazy way that it's coded that I can't even think of.
Yeah, there's also the other thing that pops on my mind is just like ease of understanding. Like if you're there and you're doing deck building and you're like, oh, I'm dropping Crystallizer, I'm a warrior, I'm dropping Crystallizer, I'm a hunter. Get over to Warlock and you're like, why the hell can't I put this in this deck? Like, not every player is tapped in. Not every player reads patch notes. Not
you
every
could just show it in your
conversation.
But then it could have like a banner across it that just says banned.
That's what they do for banned cards. But like, Imagine you go craft a card and it's normal. And then you click build and you choose the class and you go back to the same card and then it's banned.
Yeah.
What if instead of that, we just put too hot for Warlock?
Just put smells like Tamsin. Banned. But I'm gonna update the show title again.
Tamsin
smells like.
I prefer Zoop Zoop.
I'll just put all these in there. You just pick. We get the grab bag of show titles up here.
Yeah,
we should probably start doing that. Yeah,
they're all up there. There are six different show titles. I think when you're looking at this, there are a few things. I think the ease of understanding from the interface is a huge, huge deal, by far the biggest deal, and like enough of a reason to not do this. They have tried a lot of creative things, and at this point, I'm unwilling to take anything off the table because they do whatever they want now. But if you're like Wild is a thing where you kind of have to make a decision if you're Team 5. Either you balance Wild by disrupting old cards to get new toys that come along with them, or you don't do that. And I think generally they would lean towards not doing that. And then so far, the solution to this has been ban the outlier card for now and then deal with solution in a couple of years. And basically they'll make Demon Seed a new card when it rotates or find a way to effectively fix it. Because you could absolutely nerf Crystallizer in a meaningful, easy way that stops the broken interaction in this case. But Wild is a different ballgame than Standard. In Standard, you would nerf the thing making the neutral broken. In Wild, nerfing old cards is something they actively don't want to do if they don't have to, and they found a way to not have to yet. So I think that they would avoid taking people's cards away, because the whole point of Wild is supposed to be card availability.
That's fair. I don't know, I kind of, on the one hand, I like this idea, because I do definitely get where Jacob's coming from with the idea of, like, if it's only a problem in this one small instance, why can nobody else play with it anymore? And obviously they, like you said, the solution they've come around to is ban the card that makes Crystallizer a problem instead of, you know, changing Crystallizer and what it does. So I think that's good for now. But my worry would be that they would change Crystallizer, because I agree. I don't think that Wild should be changed, or cards in Wild should be changed too much, because, you know, I want to go play with the stuff that I know from years ago. That's kind of the point of the format, right? So I get that there's going to be broken problems, but then, like, what happens, like you say, when Demon Seed comes back in, then it's like, oh man, now we're going to have to change either Crystallizer or Demon Seed and neither one of those feels particularly good. What if we just said you can't play those two cards together somehow? And then it's the same for everybody else still. Nobody else has to suffer, even though that's what all warlocks want everyone else to do.
They say that. The warlock says your soul shall suffer. That's a thing that they it's not a secret. They explicitly state it. They say the quiet part out loud. I think that what this question is getting at is a reasonable thing, and with all the things that Blizzard's been doing creatively to balance, I don't think that it should be off the table. It's just a question of how to deal with the crafting and UI stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is a big enough question, especially given how Hearthstone's a game focused on simplicity, that is probably enough to say they won't do it at this point. Just because crafting an epic, it's an epic, and then finding out you can't play it when you go to build the deck would be an uninstaller. Like, you would end your Hearthstone relationship right at that point. It's so bad.
You could put, a tooltip or a warning pop-up or something.
Yes.
Warning, this card is unplayable in Warlock.
Let's assume that people will read something.
You're right. My bad.
I've worked in customer service for 14 years.
All the stripes of all the colors from all the classes on it, like it's a 9-class card? That won't be confusing.
Let's unpack all of the layers we've just added on to try and make this make sense. And it comes back to, I really think more than anything else, more than maybe this is a coding concern, simplicity is key.
Yes. But think about rainbow cards, Garrett. Yeah. 9-class cards could be epic.
But this,
10-class.
Well, this would be 9-class.
You would only have the stripe that was missing.
The warlock stripe. Yeah.
Like how BGs used to not tell you what tribes were not there, and you had to do the quadratic equation to figure out what your lobby was.
Exactly. Yeah. Do that, but cards.
Yeah.
I'm not selling the idea, I know.
There's a final question from Matt.
So from Raven, greetings, Terse Turducken. After hearing a lot of mercenaries talk, I think that it is suffering from what I call the Star Wars problem.
Josh, how did you not give this email to me?
You did the show notes. The first Star Wars came out with little to no expectations. It was amazing and took people by surprise. Cut to 2017. 40 years later, that's depressing to say out loud, a new Star Wars goes into production, and for a year prior we read about who's directing it, who's cast, thereby spoiling surprise appearances, and so on. By the time it's out, a lot of fans have already decided how they feel about it. Battlegrounds came by surprise, was amazing, and took the Hearth world by storm. Mercenaries, on the other hand, was announced, talked about, marketed, incrementally drip-feed revealed without us knowing what it could be. I agree with you that it's been a misstep to try to monetize it before we know what it is, but now it feels picked apart and it hasn't even launched yet. So I will say that I'm in the hat camp. I'll wait to play it and I'll wait to spend money on it just yet. Thanks for the great shows. So,
all right, Raven, Garrett, I want to TLDR this, and not to discount what you've written here, but because I just think it's hilarious, because I think the TLDR about everything you just wrote, Raven, is that learning for the first time about something through a survey does not lead to hype.
Yeah. It's, you can do marketing better than Star Wars did for most of the not original Star Wars movies, like the prequels. That could have gone better. And you can do marketing better than they do for Mercenaries. Because, a counterexample, the Avengers, Marvel movies. That entire franchise is a marketing experiment that turned into the biggest film franchise of all time financially. No one was surprised at what was going on in the Avengers. There was a press tour for the entire time the movie was being filmed and released, and they had so many celebrities that they had, competing press tours. You had to choose who you wanted to watch give interviews that day.
I take issue with this. I was so surprised when the Avengers won. It blew my mind. I couldn't believe the bold decision they made to have the Avengers win.
Who could have guessed? Yes. So, but they were marketed, and then they were good. And, the prequels, I understand there is mixed opinion there. And I am certainly not going to wade into the sequels and the mixed opinion there, because that is some capital D discourse that I am not engaging with on this show today.
Stay away from the capital D.
But, like... But yeah, we're gonna update that show title real quick. But also, if the product is good, it's easier to sell. But also, you have to be good at selling it. And they messed up with how they did that with Mercenaries multiple times. And it can be better. But it's not that it was marketed. It's that it was marketed really poorly. That was the issue. It was just like quality matters, and the quality of the final product is gonna matter a lot, because if the game is dope, like Battlegrounds was, then people will play it. And if it's bad, then people won't. And people watch the Star Wars movies, but I think a lot of that discourse around it was that some people didn't have their expectations met. And, you know, expectations are the thief of joy. Be careful about how high you set your expectations. But for Mercenaries, I can safely say, with the marketing they've done, most people think it's going to suck. So they actually have a really great opportunity here that it could be
really,
really great.
Maybe this is their next level marketing, like big brain plays, is do it so bad that everyone thinks it's going to be totally awful, so that when we get our hands on it, we're like, oh, hey, I thought this was going to be a hot pile of poop, but instead it's like lukewarm poop, and that's not as bad. So thumbs up, Mercenaries.
I thought it was going to be a Phantom Menace, but it was a Revenge of the Sith.
There you go.
As a diehard fan of Revenge of the Sith, I take issue with all of you.
That was a compliment. Yeah. What you just said was a compliment.
That
was a good one.
What Joss said was not a compliment.
Oh,
I thought it was going
to
be.
I was not
reference.
Yeah, I was not trying to reference poop.
Was not tying those two together.
I wasn't talking about poop at all.
You sounded like you were in agreement with Joss, and then tied it into the only good prequel.
Only in that there's a good and a bad, or a yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know how far.
A bad and a not as bad.
I think basically the temperature of the poop is equivalent to the range and quality in the original, in the Star Wars prequels. I think that's what Joss was trying to get at. And it's about poop temperature.
Fair.
Yeah, to be fair, I'm not actually sure which one is better. Like, hot or lukewarm? Like, which one's better? I don't know. Let's not dive into that. Oh,
how cold is it outside?
As someone who has thrown a cow pie like a frisbee disc, let me tell you, cold is better.
Cold is better. That's true.
Florida's a hell of a place. I hope you wash your hands.
Hell of a play.
Did you wash your hands before eating your pub sub?
I think.
God. I don't want specifics. I've changed my mind.
Nicely done. Yeah. No, Raven, I mean, honestly, I think really my reactions to Mercenaries up to this point, it is 90% a review of Mercenaries marketing, 0% a review of Mercenaries the game, because I ain't played it, and 10% skepticism of anything that looks like a gacha game for me. So that's where I'm coming from. Those are the biases. I guess I said 10% of that is a bias I'm coming at, I'm bringing to the conversation, and 90% of it is, I think, just completely botched marketing. But I think a really good point was brought up today, that really botched marketing can lead to lowered expectations, and lowered expectations can lead to surprising joy.
Yes.
Let's all hope for surprising joy.
I'm down for surprising joy.
The best marketing I've seen for Mercenaries so far is from this streamer. Her name is Slissa. I might have heard of her. Ooh. And she made a YouTube video about Mercenaries. She got some early access. She played the tutorial. She played the game. It looked really fun. Playing the game, like watching someone play, actually made me also, I would like to play. And I think that's
the most I've understood the game so far.
Because they showed the tutorial and then the game, which is, you know, just like incredible. And I strongly recommend anyone that's curious and confused about the mode to definitely check it out, because Lissa does a great job of sharing what mattered and giving kind of like an annotated intro experience with a couple of helpful tips, but mostly it's authentic to learning things as she went. And I like that.
Ready to be surprised. But I'm going to purposely stay grumpy so that I'm surprised.
It's for the content.
Yeah. Hashtag stay grumpy, everybody. We'll leave you on that. We are the angry chicken after all. No grumpy chicken jokes? Nothing? Okay. Grumpy Chicken stay off my coop.
It seemed like a good note to end on. I don't know. I thought you were just going to start doing the outro.
Well, on that note, yeah, the Angry Chicken is supported by our wonderful, wonderful patrons. If you want to support this podcast, check out patreon.com/TAC. Get yourself access to our Discord. Just direct access to us. You can message us on Patreon. You can message us in Discord. And you'll get an ad-free version of the show for your trouble. We'd also like to thank our Patreon producers, Declan H., Jeffrey D., and Dustin C. If you want to become a producer, check out the Patreon. If you want to catch back catalog episodes, maybe you missed our breakdown of the patches last week, well, you can go to theangrychicken.com. You know, or if you're just subscribed, wherever it is you get your podcasts, go one episode back. It's right there. It's also on youtube.com/amove2 if you want to watch the video archive. But before we leave, Joss, where can folks find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Twitch. I'm at Joss Plays. That's J-O-C-E Plays. You can also go check out my general gaming podcast called The Gamers Inn or The Instance, which I am now a permanent host on, where we talk about one big gaming topic a week, and it is super fun.
I'm on that show too.
Yeah.
It's a good time. We talked about difficulty in games this week.
Ooh.
It's a great time. I'm really enjoying it, I'll be honest.
It's a fun show. I'm enjoying it as well. Would highly recommend The Instance. But The Hat, where can people find you?
I'm the only host here, not in The Instance, but that's okay.
We can have you on sometime.
I mean, have your people talk to my people. We'll figure it out. But it's, I do other podcasts. I referred to both of them today during the course of the regular show. But so for the hub of my content, you can go to twitter.com/ridiculoushat, but also Coin Concede. We make the competitive side of the game more accessible to you over at coinconcede.com. This week's episode is on ladder anxiety. If that's a thing that you have experienced, we do too, and we share our feelings on it. And then also Vicious Syndicate, vicioussyndicate.com, where we take a data-driven look at the standard metagame. We had the interview with Alec Dawson this week. First 30 minutes, the most recent episode. Strongly recommend taking a listen because he makes the game, and it's good to hear from him. And then we keep talking after. If you want to listen, you can. It's a good time.
Nice. I'm Garrett Art on Twitter, as previously mentioned. There's two R's and two T's in Garrett, one R and one T in Art, but you already knew that. This podcast and every single other one that I produce can be found at amove.tv. And if you want to see my graphic design and videography portfolio, head on over to nomoonart.com. You can also hire me for a gig there. That's right, I said gig. So you know I'm cool.
We knew that already. We knew that.
Is that canon? Is that tack canon?
That you're cool?
I don't. Send your responses to @TAC podcast.
I mean, you are a fun haver. So says your hat.
There's documentation in the stream.
I have stopped.
It's a visual joke, hat. Audio listeners.
I have stopped wearing this hat forward when I like go to bars, because every time someone's like, "You like having fun?" I'm like, "Oh, I've never heard that one before." So wear it backwards, and then I only hear it from people behind me, and I can just ignore them easier.
Make eye contact when they ask that. Say no. Hold eye contact. Sip your drink and put it down. Hold
very eye seriously contact go,
the whole time.
What are you talking about?
That was a good slurp.
Yeah. That, updating the show title real quick.
Oh, somebody please clip that. Please clip that quote. That's going to wrap it up for this episode of The Angry Chicken. So from the good, the best, and the greatest slurps, job's done.
Job's done.
That job is never done.
Job's done.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.